And you're listening to the HR Power Hour. Today we're talking with Lori Parham, State Director of the AARP. And you may be listening to yourselves out there saying, why do I have the AARP on the HR Power Hour? Because actually they're a great partner in understanding why and how an aging workforce can actually help people. And so that is why you're here today, Lori.
It is.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Oh, I appreciate it. And certainly we've known one another from the WLB radio segments that we do in the morning. And certainly today we're really going to be talking to HR professionals and business leaders about how your organization can help them understand the value of an older workforce.
That's right. A lot of folks think of AARP as the American Association of Retired Persons, and we do have many members who are retired, but we're actually just AARP, the letters, or as some people like to say, the ARP, because we do have a large number of our members who are still working. Between the ages of 50 and 64, even older than that, folks, sometimes they like to continue working, they like to feel productive and like they're contributing, and for others, they don't have a choice but to continue working because they don't have enough for retirement, and so they'll be working as long as they can to be putting money away and paying bills.
So let's take that and let's talk about the fact that your organization can help companies understand how to use workers in an efficient way when they get older. Talk about the part of your organization that does that, why it's important.
Sure. So we really take a multi-pronged approach to the 50-plus worker issue. We do a lot of work communicating with companies about the value of older workers. If you look at the research, it shows that older workers, well, first of all, they have a lot of knowledge and expertise. They're committed, and they also, kind of the basic things you're looking for in an employee, they show up on time, they actually continue to come to work, they're dependable, and they can be great mentors in the workplace to younger workers as well. And so we actually have a best employers program where we work with employers. They can fill out an application and show us how they have policies in place for 50-plus workers. And we've actually awarded our 50 best employers award for people over 50 to some companies right here in Maine. Chimbro Construction has won the award more than once, including this year in 2013, and L.L. Bean has as well. So it's really working with them and then really highlighting companies that have best practices in place, because some people actually already do get it.
You're a national organization. Of course, the show's heard across many different states. Are those awards that companies can get outside of Maine?
Yes. So I love to use the example of a health system in Florida that actually has a program in place for snowbirds so that they guarantee employment to people who come down and spend half the year in Florida. So you've got nurses, physicians who may have retired but wanted to come back to work and they've still got their certifications, or other positions at the hospital where they know they're guaranteed every year when they come back in December, say, that for 6 months they'll have employment. So it is a national program, and I'm really proud that there are companies right here in Maine who have been recognized.
Do you still hear that companies are challenged at times in knowing how to best handle older workers? And I say handle with a quotation around it, because while they come in with knowledge and experience, there are some challenges sometimes on the tech side, especially. Mm-hmm. They may be not as tech knowledgeable as today's workforce needs. How do you see the partnering with employers to improve this?
That's a great question. And we have heard concerns, and we actually see it even with a new program we have that I'll talk about in a minute, that especially for people over 50 who've been in jobs for a long time, and the boomer generation is more likely to have been in one job than younger generations, maybe not as much so as their parents, the greatest generation. But they did the one thing they did, and they haven't had to keep up with technology as much. So this is an issue. What we're finding is that if organizations embrace a multi-generational approach to the workforce, that there's learning in both directions, and that has been really helpful. But internally, it's not just about bringing people on board, it's also the culture and how you get folks who may not necessarily speak the same language talking with each other. So it really has to be a part of HR policy and thinking and their approach to the entire workforce in a company or organization.
When you're seeing success stories, and we're talking about probably especially mentoring programs that have younger generation and older generation working together for the tech side, as well as the experience on the other side, bringing that down. Can you talk about maybe a success story that you've seen in the marketplace today that, as the listeners listen today, can say, I can relate to that and think about how I could do that in my organization?
Sure. Well, it really comes down to the suite of options that you might offer your employees. And often what's good for an older worker may be good for a younger worker too. But it's so ensuring job training and so providing through the workforce, whether it's internal opportunities or external opportunities, investing in that kind of training for your staff. It may be the kinds of flexibility, the flexible policies that you put in place that might help an older person who's caring for an aging parent, but might also help a younger person who has caregiving responsibility around kids. Scripps is one or one company that has had good success in the multi-generational space. But it really is it's bringing people on board, providing the range of opportunities, but then having thinking culturally about how people are working together and providing opportunities to bring people together. Maybe you have an employee council where you recruit people across ages, for example, and you could do the same thing beyond age diversity. You could do the same thing with race or gender as well. But really making sure it's not just saying, well, I'm a multi-generational company because I hire young people and older people, but it's also being kind of deliberate about how those folks are working together.
Yeah, I was looking on your website in terms of the AARP, and you talk a lot about best employers. We talked a little about that in terms of over 50 and award winners. Are there criteria for that? And can companies, as we're thinking about learning the best ways to deal with older workers and help them, because we want everybody to be successful. I say it all the time. 99.9% of all employers want to do the right thing. It's just sometimes they don't know how to do the right thing. So tell us about the new program and how that they can become award winners in this program.
Sure. So we last year we launched a relationship with LinkedIn called Work Reimagined, and you can go out to workreimagined.org if you are 50 plus and looking for work, and it will point you to companies who have taken a pledge that say we are invested in and we care about and appreciate a 50 plus workforce. So at a time when folks are concerned that they're older and won't be able to get hired, these are companies who say, come to us. And so companies, organizations can actually take the pledge, the Work Reimagined pledge, and then be listed as a company or organization that supports the 50 plus worker. One thing that we're working to do is for a lot of people over 50 who may be less interested or engaged in social media, it's recognizing that the traditional resume, things are very different today.
They sure are.
Wow. So the importance of a site like LinkedIn and getting connected in a different type of way and trying to provide that kind of advice and support to our members who are looking for work. What are some of the things that would fit into the award category that a 50 plus worker is looking for? Flexibility. I mentioned that earlier around issues like caregiving. Telecommuting, the ability to work from away. Sometimes folks may have to make a move to be closer to an aging parent. And of course, it depends on the business and whether it works. Condensed work schedules. So maybe you're splitting caregiving with another sibling, so you really need Fridays to check in on an aging parent. You'd work more hours Monday through Thursday. companies that are looking at the half-time, so part-time employment, bringing in people. It works so well with the snowbirds going south because you've also got a bigger population in the winter months. So it's a win-win. Phased retirement. So not just having people end on a Friday and be done after 20 years of service, but allow that phased retirement, which helps them bridge to full retirement, but then keeps folks on board who can help as you're bringing in and recruiting younger employees. So those are some
These are all great ideas, Lori. And we are talking with Lori Parham, State Director of the AARP here in Maine. Do you find that more and more companies are starting to talk about some of these new processes? I mean, we are an older workforce now, and not just here in Maine, but across the whole country. It is. We've got more in the workforce, even though we have 10,000 supposedly a day retiring, quote-unquote retiring. You know, the reality is that we have more workers that are older in the workplace.
We are seeing greater trends towards flexibility, and we believe it really is going to be the wave of the future. I mean, and technology more and more is allowing us to do this. I'd say for good or for bad, I can work from anywhere, you know, and so it's great if I've got to be somewhere. I'm lucky to work for an organization that does provide flexibility for caregiving needs, for example. So when my grandfather was very ill, I was able to get on a plane and take my laptop and work the whole time if I needed to. Of course, it does mean that people can find you anywhere, so it could be hard to unplug. But I think more and more this is the way we're headed, and it's going to be important for companies to continue to get ahead of the curve.
I think it's interesting that the generation who you hear from that says the younger generation in this particular case doesn't come in on time, doesn't do their work from 9 to 5, is now some of them needing the flexibility of some of the things they rail about to now make it so that they can do what they need to do in the older age. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
How it's kind of twisted all around in terms of that a little bit.
Right.
You know, but hey, that's okay. They're learning. We're all learning on how to make that happen. What are some of the key things that you could say are tips that employers could do to work with your organization to make this smoother for them and get some training and development?
Sure. So first and foremost, I would love to see more Maine organizations sign the Work Reimagined Pledge. And you can go out to the site and see, and I'll actually share my email. I'm at lparham, P-A-R-H-A-M, at aarp.org. What I can do if folks want to contact me is share a suite of information. So the kind of guidelines for the Best Employers Program, a copy of the pledge so you can actually see what you're pledging to do. It's pretty straightforward. There's nothing binding there. It just says, hey, we value older workers. We'd love to have them. And then point them the website, which actually has information for employers as well as people looking for work. We do a lot of work on the resume side, and all of that is aarp.org/work, where you can find a bunch of resources as well.
No, that's great. We're talking with Lauren Parham. She's the state director of the AARP in Maine. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com. And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And we're talking to Lori Parham. She is the state director of the AARP.
I am, and boy, you can get tongue-tied saying that.
You can. I've always said it about, I don't know, 100, 200 times at this point. You would think I have no problem saying it all the time. So, you know what's interesting? One of the things that I know about your organization is you help older people, older workers, in many different areas. we've been talking about the workforce, but a lot of people might say, hey, I want to become an employer myself. I want to open a business. I'm in the second half of my life, third half of my life. I'm in my final job. And certainly at Career Management Associates, we hear this all the time. I'm 58, I'm 59, I'm 60. I just want to work 5-6 more years, but I want to do it on my terms,
right.
my terms.
Right.
And I'm in a position maybe where, I've done well, or I have a little capital or I can have a business plan and go out there and try to think about being a self-employed person. Tell me how the AARP can help with that.
Sure. That's a great question, especially in Maine. People between the ages of 50 and 64 are the largest growing group of entrepreneurs in the state. And many are who we call encore entrepreneurs because they are looking at their what's next. And I mentioned workreimagined.org. It's part of a larger site called Life Reimagined. And it walks you through a set of cards that help you kind of determine what it is you might want to do next for people who are able to make that decision. For others who've lost a job, they've just decided that they're going to go into business for themselves and they may not know where to begin. So for the last couple of years, we've actually partnered with the Small Business Administration across the country, and we've actually done some events right here in Maine during Encore Entrepreneur Month, which is April. And we'll be working with the SBA again this year, along with Coastal Enterprises, Inc. We've done some work with them through their Women's Business Center. And we've done round tables, brown bags, on a range of issues from technology, web security, to just more of the basics about financing and how you get started. And so if you go out to the work site for AARP, you'll also find links to the work that we're doing with the SBA. And it's also out at the Work Reimagined site. So all of the tools kind of go together. But it really does cover everything from how you start with financing to once you're up and running, and then all of the different kinds of issues you'll need to be prepared for from the technology side, for example, to the hiring side.
Is this usually staffed with volunteers who have done this in the past? Is this kind of like a quote-unquote SCORE, which is another organization out there that helps that? How does that all play together?
So we've actually, one of the events we did included SCORE too, so thank you for mentioning that. What we do is look for opportunities and interests locally, and we use the Encore Entrepreneur Month because just to raise awareness during that time, although we're willing to talk about the issues kind of any time of year, of course. On our site, we have a mix of resources, some that will be, we do live webinars and live talks with people who do have experience, we just have different columnists who are writing for us, so you can go to their, to links to their information. So it really depends on what issue you want. We've got resume help if you've got questions about a resume, so it's a real range. Out at Work Reimagined or Life Reimagined, you can also do online chats. There are a lot of resources. So most of what I'm talking about is web or online based.
Do you find that a challenge? I don't mean to interrupt, but do you find that a challenge with some of the older folk who don't have a lot of knowledge on web, online, and based? I mean, is there a partnership somewhere to help bring that together?
Sure. So that's a great question, and it's something I'm keenly aware of here in Maine as state director, because our membership, we have a membership that skews older here. And we also know that we have broadband issues in some places too still. But most of what we have is online. When I get calls from people, and I had one gentleman call me who lost his job unexpectedly and was really not sure where to begin, but was it crazy about the web resources? He came in and I spent an hour with him and walked him through stuff, and then did a bit of follow up on email. Now that's not my full time job, but it's really nice when I can help people like that. So where we can't help with the one on one, and I don't want to sell AARP as a job counselor. What we try to do is provide resources that help people individually as they're going through the process. We would try to link them up with people locally.
Absolutely. No, that makes perfect sense. So we've kind of talked a little bit about entrepreneurship. We've kind of talked about aging in the workplace. We've kind of talked about how your organization can help employers and employees in this situation do that. What are some of the other things that AARP does? People may know what they do and some of the help for employers or help for employees. What are some of the things that you think about that really make sense for HR business leaders to know?
Well, there have been some changes federally due to some Supreme Court decisions. There have been some changes federally to age discrimination laws that I'm sure a lot of folks are aware of, but that's an issue we're following very closely. We did a survey last year and found a large number of people in Maine, older workers, feel that they've been victims of age discrimination. And so one of the things we do in trying to educate employers is to really talk about and show the research around the value. But there, we're also working at the federal level to restore some protections for older workers that were impacted by a Supreme Court decision a couple years ago that really put the entire burden of proving age discrimination on the employee, which can be very difficult to do. So this is just bringing us back to where we were under federal law, because now we're seeing more and more an erosion of and more people coming forward with concerns, and they really have no recourse. So so we do kind of the education side for employers and employees, and then we also do some advocacy work around age discrimination as well.
So we're seeing an increase in that. Do you think that, I guess my initial question is it because there are more aging workforce, people out there? So the question is that percentage really different, or is it just a percentage of the group as a total?
Well, I think, you know, when you're dealing with a tight economy, that can be a real issue. And so we saw a lot of people over 50 who were laid off during the Great Recession. And unfortunately, when they lose a job, they tend to be out of the workforce for a longer period of time and have a much harder time getting back in. You hear a lot of anecdotes, but again, is it perception? What's really going on? And that's why we think it's just so important to be having the conversations with HR professionals and employers that they shouldn't just look the other way if they see someone who's graying a little. I have a volunteer who, well, he's no longer my volunteer. He had to move to Connecticut because he couldn't, and he was in IT, so it's not like he wasn't in a field that is hiring, but he was ready to dye his hair because he was convinced that the age was the factor, and he had all the experience. He was actually someone who was up to speed on technology, and so it's just something to be aware of. And here in Maine, what I've said, and you've heard me say this before, is that we need to look at recruiting a younger workforce, but we need to look at the value across the spectrum, because we do have a lot of older people here, and they're not going anywhere. So we need a multi-pronged approach, a multi-generational strategy, as it were, when we look at our workforce.
No, I absolutely agree, and I think that what you bring today is a lot of information that employers and employees can really think about, of how they can partner with your organization to either help, learn, develop, and partner to make it work within here, and not only in Maine, but throughout the country in terms of what this works. I really appreciate you being on the show today, but before you go, I have to tell you one quick story, because I think it's important and the audience will appreciate this. So I'm not going to say my age, but I'm just going to say I'm not 50 quite yet, okay? I'm just not 50 quite yet. So I got to say that the other day, and this was a few months ago, I started receiving some wonderful materials from your organization. Now, as an employer, I appreciate those materials, but as a under 50-year-old person, I still have not wrapped my head around being quite 50 yet. So I want to let you know that I looked at the material, I looked at the packet, and I felt very good about the fact that I walked into my office and shredded that material through the shredder, because it's just not till I turn 50 that I'm going to feel good about that. Well, so do you forgive me for that?
I forgive you.
Okay.
And I will be at your doorstep when you turn 50.
Oh, I bet you will. No, I appreciate that. And all kidding aside, your group does a great job, great advocacy, great understanding of how it can help employers. And I've heard you speak about that and fully support it. So, Lori, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
And now your HR tip of the week. According to TrendHR.com, in an article by Rich Henson,
There are six areas that need to be documented at all times if you're dealing with employees. One, if you're going to be coaching them. Two, if you're going to be doing a performance review. Three, if you're going to be disciplining them. Four, if you're going to have to make a termination. Five, if someone files a formal complaint. Six, if claims are made. Do you do these? Are these important? Of course, you know they are. So that's your HR tip of the week. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be speaking with Deborah Weiss-Ford. She is a managing partner for Portsmouth, New Hampshire-based attorney firm Jackson & Lewis. She is going to be speaking about, we all know them, we all deal with them, the quote, jerk at work. How do you know the person behaving like a jerk is really a jerk and not just having a bad day or a bad interaction? We're going to talk about how you handle that and what you do and the proper way to make it work for you. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.